guests and the ones who are on the phone line, please.
You bet. Would love to. Thank you, Madam Mayor. So thank you all for being here. I think it's a really great opportunity to pulse the public and engage them on this really critical issue. To my right here, we have Dan Kelly from Alaska Marine Lines. He's the vice president of AML, and he's been a good friend and partner to Wrangell for quite some time. How long have you been serving for Alaska Marine Lines?
36 years.
And a Southeast boy. So this is home to him, and we really appreciate the partnership we have with Dan. Additionally, on the line, we have Corey Bagan, who's the president of a Samson Tugging Barge. And Corey, can you hear us tonight? You all good for audio, video?
I can hear you.
Corey's on, and then we have Ken Taylor, who manages operations for Samson Tugging Barge as well. And Ken, can you hear us tonight? I think he's probably good.
I don't think he's had the opportunity to use the tool yet tonight. I was very fortunate. I was able to get on a little earlier, so I get to try it.
Okay. Well, good. Well, good to have you with us, Corey. And then we have Assemblymember Dalrymple also on the line. So thank you for joining us, Bob. I'd like to thank the clerk. This is our first attempt at a live stream feed for all of our work sessions and meetings. So hopefully that makes it more accessible to the public. And we got a lot of meetings planned for the year, a lot of work sessions. So if you look in the back, we got a new camera set up that we're live streaming to the community. So you can wave, smile, and everybody will see us. So again, thank you, Madam Mayor. I think this is a critical discussion. We'll get into the CBW AML MOU. That's the main part. And then we have a special meeting after tonight to talk about three different MOUs. So we'll get to that, and that'll entail ACL and GreenSpark as well. But I'd like to first point out, I think that we really are at an inflection point here at the CBW. The mayor has asked that I share a few things that I think kind of bridge into this conversation, which are that we have a lot of economic development opportunities in front of us. And one of which is this ACL. Welcome in, you guys. One of which is this Alaska Marine Lines discussion. I think that has a lot of economic development opportunities associated with it, clearly along our waterfront. So we'll talk about that. We have the American Cruise Line port expansion in front of us. And we just met with their CEO on Saturday as he went through Wrangell. So that's an opportunity that we'll be excited to bring home to Wrangell. We have the GreenSpark regenerative AI data center storage, taking advantage of our cheap hydropower. That's a very alive and well opportunity that we are pursuing as well. We have the Aldertop public auction for sale. October 31st is when 20 lots go for public auction. I mean, that's huge. That's a housing solution for our community, along with the search plan unit development, bringing up to maybe 18 units to our community start for springtime construction. So tackling housing. We got into the child care discussion with Ida and brought that win home to the community too. So from that perspective, going good. We have a SEPO solar initiative we're working on, and I just got back from a board meeting over there. So that's a really real opportunity in front of us. SEPA is committed to powering up the mill property in their annual budget for FY26. That's $1 million investment to provide 5 megawatts of power to the mill property for industrial uses and potentially Alaska Marine Lines and other users of freight and industrial use. We've been talking to value-add lumber production companies about placing a veneer mill out of the mill property. So that's, again, a very real opportunity that we're working on. And that's really promising as we talk about second growth and targeting that. And so I really think that all that drums up a lot of opportunity here for us to execute on. So this won't be the only discussion that we have. And it's certainly the first. And I think it's well-deserved. We've been talking about the barge lines for nearly four decades. So excited to bring that home to you tonight. And then from a capital projects perspective, I know this assembly and my team has worked really, really hard to bring home dollars to the city. We brought back $37.5 million last year. We got 12.5 slated for this year. That's $50 million in 2 years. That's about as good as it gets for a small town. And we have a $50 million opportunity we'll be speaking of tonight. Just got the water treatment plant done. Just got the industrial lots done at 5th and 6th Avenue. We did the solid waste transfer station. We did the City Park Pavilion. We did the Maui Dewey Trail extension. And on the docket for next summer, we have the school, the public safety building, filling out our waterfront. We have McKinnon Street slated for summer construction right after we get through with St. Michael's. And we have the reservoir bypass and the harbor projects funded and moving forward. So I think that's pretty good for 2 years. And I'm optimistic. I'm really bullish about this place, and not to detract from the conversation today, but I do think it's really important to tell the community where I think we're at, where I think we're headed. And we'll get going along with this presentation. So sorry for the long introduction.
Thanks.
Okay, we'll get going. So the purpose of tonight's presentation really is to explain the framework of this MOU between Alaska Marine Lines and CBW. We're going to share some context and historical background on the Freya facility and some of the planning activities and the series of public engagement that we've done. And I'm namely starting that timeline with 2009 forward, but we can talk about Freight all the way back into the 70s when the last barge ramp was put in. We want to outline the path forward for relocation of a barge landing site. And we want to provide the community and assembly the opportunity to express their concerns, maybe some added value and comments or questions. We encourage you guys all to speak. So I think that we're going to facilitate questions and comments at the end. I'm hoping to gear a lot of tonight's presentations towards anticipated questions. So maybe I'll cut down on some things that people are curious about. And then we will seek to answer anything that's remaining actually within the meeting. So does that sound all right, Madam Mayor?
That's good.
Okay. Yeah. So that's tonight's agenda. So why relocate freight services in Wrangell? Obviously, we made a pivotal decision this year in decommissioning our aging barge ramp. That has been in service since 1978. Many of you guys know Chuck Poole, who was sitting in the near back at the time to put that thing in, about nearly 50 years old. We did a condition assessment back in 2011, identifying acceptable load rating criteria, about 75 tons for a fork type vehicle, 100 tons for multiple axles. And then we realized as we got on, and I wasn't here from 2011 to 2021, but it had been a developing issue. We continue to see the integrity of that structure decay. And just last year, we took a look at it and we noticed like there's a visible negative camber to the ramp. We went from a three inch positive camber to a 1 inch minus. So we engaged again our core engineer PND to take a look at things. They did a condition assessment generally, but they weren't willing to opine on load ratings for the structure given its significant deterioration. And that ultimately resulted in them saying, well, we're not going to give you an opinion because we think there's the risk of catastrophic failure of the ramp. So knowing that as a public entity, we've decommissioned it. Obviously, our attorney's sitting in the crowd tonight. I think he would agree with that decision, but a tough decision. And it's frustrating, I think, to a lot of us that are new to the table or have joined the assembly or joined this team, because we didn't really have a good stack of cards going into this. There was no planning. There was no wharfage that was attached to this ramp for a long, long time to recapitalize a new ramp. So we're sitting with harbor reserves that are hardly enough to afford a debt service for a portion of a ramp. And here we are, right? So we got to get creative. And I think we have done that in this process. So we'll speak to that a little bit tonight. The other mindset, why relocate freight? The tourism conflict, I know in the waterfront master plan, which we'll talk a little bit more about tonight, it calls for stripping out the barge service yard in the long term to allow for a greater growth of the visitor industry. And you'll see that in our discussion tonight with American Cruise Lines on their MOU. That's an opportunity that's very real. It's not any more volume that we're seeing right now. It does allow them to grow into our community. But the real value for that partnership is they're looking at turning their clients here in Wrangell. And what the economic impact of that is, I can assure you it's huge. So that's an opportunity. But then I also think if you have the barge landings somewhere in the downtown vicinity, you've noticed that there's increased congestion in the Marine Service Center too. So I noticed that, you know, Tyler and Don are here from the Marine Service Center. I appreciate you guys coming because I know that having this interim solution has drastically impacted your guys' businesses and the vendors over in the Marine Service Center. So we realized that it's not just a tourism conflict, there's conflicts over in the Marine Service Center too. Safety is a huge concern. I think that a move out of downtown to downtown area or these existing waterfront or interim solution that we found at the Marine Service Center is consistent with a lot of the community engagement we've done since 2009 and a lot of the planning that's taken place. And then you have 40 acres of prime property to Deepwater Port. It's an industrial fit. It makes sense, I think, as we've dwindled the list of alternatives and we have looked at various alternatives together. And we'll talk about that tonight. And then the Marine Service Center, like I said, it's costly. We pursued a concept there. Cost estimate was 20 to 25 million at a rough order of magnitude. And that was out without a ramp. That was just filling out the site and demolishing the old mill dock and putting a new footprint in. So I'll speak to that as well a little bit more tonight. So we'll move on to that one. I keep waiting for somebody to switch the slides, so I stop talking, but I guess I'm in control here. So talking about the historical timeline, there's a handout that I don't know if you grabbed it when you walked in. It talks about historical context and planning. And really, these are excerpts on this page of each of the plans and some of its survey data that we pulled. And this is kind of my basis for how I rationalize where we are today and what we're doing. In 2009, we commissioned a community opinion survey. It was on a variety of issues, but freight was one of those issues. In that survey, there was options for relocating the freight facility out to the 6 mile site. 66% of people said they were in favor of that move, and there was about 28% opposed, and then there must have been another category of sorts. And then you review our 2010 comprehensive plan. It's a 300 and some odd page document, but in the chance that folks had robustly studied it, welcome on in, you guys. I'm just going to read a portion of it. The location of the downtown barge landing is convenient for quick transportations of goods to local businesses. In fact, forklifts carrying palleted goods sometimes travel right down Front Street or alleys to deliver goods. On the other hand, it's adjacent to Wrangell's major waterfront hotel and is part of the downtown waterfront, more oriented towards the water, related tourism and enjoyment activities with a lot of pedestrian traffic. Relocation to a suitable waterfront location that was not in the middle of downtown would reduce congestion to help transition this part of the waterfront between the City Dock, cruise ships, and the Nolan Center to a less industrial nature. And so it goes on and on. It talks about the survey that was done in 2009. And I think that's a pretty meaningful excerpt. There's another page in 610 of the comp plan that speaks to it. And then in 2015, we did our waterfront master plan. I was not here during that process, but what from my understand, it was a fairly robust engagement of the community. There was a lot of people involved. For nearly four decades, the community of Wrangell has been discussing moving its freight operations away from the downtown waterfront. While Wrangell residents are strong supporters of their local barge services and Wrangell's Freight Yard Heritage waterfront building operators, there is nearly unanimous and pointed agreement among officials and residents that participate in the waterfront master planning process that is not the best use of prime waterfront real estate in the heart of downtown. For this reason, the final phase of the project recognizes this sentiment and relocates the barge service area. So, I mean, again, in 2015, that was an excerpt from our waterfront plan. And then in 2022, we ended up buying the mill property for about $2.4 million and change. That was bought from a person from the Bueller family who owned the 6 mile mill site before and had a variety of enterprises on it. And then in December of 2022, we acted fairly quickly after that June acquisition and engaged the community in a public engagement format where they split up in groups and talked about the best and highest use of that property. And obviously, the uses that were identified were industrial in nature generally. But out of that, the barge and freight services was number one, unanimous against all the groups. And I remember participating in that. Come on in, please, with Economic Development Director and the previous manager, Jeff Good, at that time. And then in 2023, we applied for a PIDP grant that stands for Port Infrastructure Development Program. That's under United States Department of Transportation. We were able to achieve that planning grant for $421,000. That's part of the massive amount of funding we've got in the last couple of years. And really the objectives of that grant were for planning, subdivision, and analyzing movement of freight and transportation services out to the mill property. So we have some planning funding to work on, and we're actually fully ready on that grant agreement to work on some of the environmental and subdivision surveying planning that could accommodate this MOU that we're going to be talking about. And then in 2024, we did another community engagement exercise where 116 people were surveyed or responded to a survey. Of those 116, 76 survey respondents identified freight and shipping as the top desired use for the mill property. So that's fairly recently. And then we did our condition assessment. Now we're at an MOU place or MOU development stage of the game. And so I say all that because this isn't a new concept. The mill property has always been talked about, and it's been majority have supported it over time. So I think that a lot of the feedback that I'm getting is, well, the city and the assembly are just, you know, they're just going on the mill property and that's it. Well, it couldn't be any further from the truth. There's a longstanding history of all this in our planning. And I think that one thing we can all agree on is sometimes the municipalities can plan their lives away and never execute on things. And I think that's something that, you know, my administration and this assembly are adamantly opposed to. We want to act on things. And I think some of the projects I just mentioned and some of these economic development initiatives that we've done and have in front of us are part of that. So a little bit of a historical timeline on our public engagement. So in this process, we have considered several different alternatives. I will say I got this wrong on the PowerPoint. It wasn't Ballard's that we looked at, but it was just in between the site we're looking at, a land exchange with the Trust Land Office, that 27 acres that is just east of the golf course. If you're familiar with the golf course, hole two, kind of over was one of the sites that was identified in previous alternatives. We looked at the airport pit. That was an opportunity. It's heavily regulated by the FAA. The tide runs around the point significantly. I know that there's been a desire from communities abroad for the rock here in Wrangell. Obviously, the Armor Rock's super high quality, but you can't find a big enough tug to push up against the beach because the tide runs so hard there. So that's a concern. And then obviously site control. And then we've looked at the Marine Service Center, but again, you know, as a testament of some of the stakeholders in the room, there's been increased congestion. I know that Dan and his leadership team feel the same way. There's a lot of safety issues. I think it's a little cringy when you're out there and you have as many vendors and operators and Trident running around and then the random person that just wants to looky-loo, and there's a lot going on and there's an excess of risk to our operators at Sampson and AML in the summertime when they're here doing fish. And so, you know, we've looked at that and I'll talk about that just a little bit more in a second. And then we obviously have rebuilding our downtown facility, blocking further development, and it calls for continued use of that cul-de-sac. That cul-de-sac is super valuable at this point in the game because it's the only place in town you can turn a 53-foot container and have enough radius. Other options would call for rerouting our downtown corridors or expanding roadways to accommodate a large container or large items. And so when we look at the Marine Service Center, that's exactly the issue. So in the top right, we actually did a conceptual of PND. This is something that Corey from Sampson and Dan and I tried to collab on. And this was a preferred alternative that we tried to look into, which was really finding the closest downtown solution that, you know, was mutually agreed to upon all the industries in play. And we're not favoring the tourism industry. We're not favoring the Marine Service Center industry, but we really need to, you know, we want to raise all these ships in our economy, all our sectors in our economy. So we looked at this option, that top right picture that you're looking at right there. This is a sheet piled section against the concrete T dock of the Marine Service Center. And this is the slope. This is the slope of the fill. And this would be a big pad right here for the barge to tie up and offload under a pass scenario. And then you can also see a mooring dolphin right there for tie up as the mill docks continues to deteriorate as well. And so that right there, without a barge ramp or anything else, came back to be 20 to 25 million in preliminary cost estimates and discussions with PND. So that's no ramp. And then if I were to zoom out of this picture right here, the containers and the trucks on chassis have to move freight all the way through downtown through that cul-de-sac and then come back around. But we don't want to go through the cul-de-sac because it's the main artery for the visitor industry and city dock. It doesn't make sense to have trucks and tourists in the same zone right there. So we would have to reroute one of the downtown roads to be able to be wide enough. And the one we looked at was actually the Sampson building and trying to figure out how we could widen that road or get rid of the bathroom so we could make that turn on Campbell Drive. So the 20 to 25 million didn't take into account a new ramp or rerouting those roads. So it wasn't worth our investment or any time in future planning for this alternative. And we kind of communicated that to Dan. Corey wasn't at that meeting, but she was privy to the conversation. So we backed up and punted on another alternative, which was the mill site. And then down below, you can see some of the alternatives we looked at: mill site, you know, in between Ballard's and the airport rock pit, the Marine Service Center, and the existing barge service yard. So the MOU, the whole reason we're here, so sorry for the long lead up. You know, it really builds on a lot of years of community planning and surveys. That's really what the historical timeline was meant to talk about. Responsive decommissioning of the aging downtown facility. We would have liked to, in the perfect world, had enough funding in the bank to be able to recapitalize a ramp or afford a debt service to have a new freight facility implemented. But it's not the way it panned out. It's not what we inherited as an assembly and administration. So here we are. You know, from a building relationship perspective, this MOU establishes a non-binding framework. And I want to make that really clear to everybody that, and me and Dan and Patty and Dave were just meeting before the meeting, it could very well that we go down this road and this doesn't work out. We both look at each other and as Dan says, we're not getting married. But it's possible that it doesn't make financial sense. It's got to make sense from a return perspective for them. And we got to make sure that it meets the requirements of the community, that it truly is getting bang for our buck. And that's a complex thing to analyze from a municipal lens, because there's a lot of things that go into return for a municipality as opposed to profitability or being in the black, so to speak. And those are all the intangibles. Those are, what are the opportunity costs of not, of just letting our economy stay where it's at? What is the cost of having no more families move to Wrangell and attending our public schools? I see our superintendent in the room, Dr. Garrett just joined the public school system here. So welcome, Josh. And there's a lot of things that are calculated in return. So it's really a roadmap. It's a framework to look at this option and evaluate. We think it's really, we've checked all the alternatives off the list on our way out the road, basically. And this is the last one that we want to look at together. The most important thing about this, and I think it's unique and maybe not characteristic to how the borough or AML has operated, is a public-private partnership. We think that pursuing this jointly creates a lot of opportunities from the municipal side of things. We bring a lot of state and federal funding to the equation. We've been very good at it lately. You know, like I said, $50 million in 2 years. We got another big opportunity in front of us to get a boatload of money. And on their side of things, from the Alaska Marine Line side of things, they bring a lot of expertise in the freights and logistics business. They've built these barge ramps all over the country. So they can hand us a design that we want that's pretty similar, suitable to our needs, and we can avoid the whole cost of starting something new. We've looked at used ramps they have that didn't really work out. But having that expertise and helping us guide the conversation and getting to the right fit for our community is super important. So I think the value of a public-private partnership and what this MOU really accomplishes is really significant. And then, you know, from, you know, a vision perspective, we continued along with the plan, design, and development of a new barge landing at Six Mile Side. That's something that the community's called for. And then this MOU really calls for a definitive agreement by December 31st, 2025. That may be extended, obviously, depending on how discussions go, how quickly we get conceptuals in place, and what cost estimates are there. We think that we can get a facility in for $5 to $7 million out of the mill site. I don't know if there's pictures in later in this presentation. I can't remember of what the mill site looks like now. It's fairly ready for development. It's clean and clear, thanks to Mr. Tonsgaard and his developments out there. So we'll get to hopefully a definitive agreement on what we want to do, or we may say this doesn't work out. We got to figure out something else, and then we'll look at design and construction in 26 and 27. And preferably, obviously, in the off season when they're not red fish and high volume. Trident's responsible. This is kind of a fun fact for you. For 4/7 of all of our freight that's coming in and out of the community, they're just operating for the summer months. So 3/7 is roughly about what the rest of the community brings in. So they're a really integral part of the equation as well. So roles and responsibilities, those are kind of the mutual benefits. But obviously, we'll provide property access. We'll look at securing the permitting. That might be a joint venture in some ways. Certainly be applying for various fundings. We already have PIDP to bring to the table for conceptual survey work, environmental, all that stuff. And then we'll be fronting the utility implementation process as well, in conjunction with SEPA and their investment they're planning on making. And we'll also continue to lead community engagement exercises. So this is probably the first of many on a variety of different topics, including the ACL GreenSpark and some of the other things we have going on. But that's kind of our main role. And then actually on the right, this is our new cleared mill property. This is the northern side of the property. Before, it was just alders and concrete footings and derelict equipment and all the things, right? So it looks pretty good. I know that many of the neighbors actually appreciate the view. Now they can look out. And from an Alaska Marine Lines perspective, they're going to define what they really require to run things efficiently and provide the best bang for their buck and for the community. Participate in design and investment. They're, like I said, going to be a really great expert to have in the room as we talk about different designs. We did that a little bit down in Seattle. We were looking at some of their Kodiak operations and some of the other communities like Petersburg. They got an A-frame setup. We obviously have a floating ramp. And I might have Dan speak a little bit about the shift in ramp structures to accommodate side loading a little bit later on. And then, of course, the overall commitment is committing to relocating one facility built at mill property. So that is, in a nutshell, really what this MOU sets out to accomplish. You know, benefits to the community, I think they're fairly obvious. Again, a nice picture aerial of the new cleared mill property. You're going to get reliable modern freight services, something we've always had, reliability with our freight services. We don't want any disruption to that. It'll open downtown waterfront for community use and tourism development. The ACL thing makes a lot more sense when you have bargain freight operations out of there. We can actually begin to work on our waterfront master plan, which we plan on doing right away at the turn of the year, for proceeds to fill out a 2-acre section of our waterfront. And that could allow for a greater expansion of the Marine Service Center too. And that's going to be a conversation that we ask the Port Commission to consider as we, you know, continue to have a high demand for that facility. And then expanding industrial opportunities at the 6 Mile Mill site. It very well could be we have an industrial uses out there that are synergetic with a barge line. Like I said, if we have a veneer mill out there that's calling for a heavy demand export, that's a good thing for AML. It's good business for them. It's also really convenient for us. And so those are the kind of type of industries we're going to continue to try to attract to that site. We've talked about the data center. That'll be the site that we prefer, just given it's on a closed circuit out there and doesn't impact any of our other feeders throughout the community. There's a lot of opportunities at the mill property in front of us. Operation of freight and visitor activity, obviously that's a huge concern. We have a lot of different users in the Marine Service Center that's been a danger to them and a risk that I think is unacceptable for much longer outside of this interim period. And I think that all parties at the table understand that and want to get out to a long-term solution as soon as possible. And then it's really a foundation of public-private partnership and to leverage federal and state grant opportunities. And, you know, I'm actually going to stop on that one just for a second, and sorry to belabor some certain points, but portions of this MOU for both AML, ACL, and GreenSpark, they have an excerpt in there about EDA disaster supplemental grant. And I think that's a really important opportunity for Wrangell. That is a specific pool of money that is available to us. You have to have a federally declared disaster in your community to be eligible for it. It's a pot of $1.4 billion that comes from the Economic Development Administration. And there's an industry transformational pathway grant. It's $20 to $50 million application. And what it really is you form a coalition of private sector partners that are willing to commit to certain investments if we get this grant, right? And so this grant is an opportunity for us to get all the money we need to develop our waterfront, all the money we need for supporting infrastructure and surfacing and utilities at the mill property, and thus increase investment from the private sector. So you're going to see us having conversations with the AML certainly, and some of the others we're signing MOUs with. And then you're going to see us bring Trident to the table, and we're going to talk to cruise line agencies of Alaska and what can we really do to attract private investment. So a golden opportunity in front of it. We just got the $25 million raise grant for our Wrangell Harbor Basin project last year, and that's been secured. That was a really competitive process. This one, the pool is limited, and I think we'll be even more competitive in that. So I just wanted to make that note in the MOU. Considerations from the community and some potential anticipated questions. We all scan Facebook. We know what's going on, and we all hear questions throughout our general walk through town. But businesses are concerned about higher freight costs and transportation costs. Yeah, no kidding, right? Southeast, that's our biggest concern at Southeast. And if you look at surveys regional wide, that's the biggest concerns for businesses being viable. Southeast is the freight costs and what we're up against in the long term. So whatever we do, we're going to be forthcoming with the community and say this is what we think it'll cost, or it's going to be net, it's going to be a wash. But we're going to be as transparent as we can in coming forward with an ROI and really create expectations for community members. That's not going to be, done in some closed room back in my office. So I think that's really important to mention. Road impacts and transportation routes are a key issue for businesses and residents. So I get this one a lot, and I've seen it swirling around on the internet. And everybody wants to know, well, the highway is not rated for it. Well, that's not true. I talked to DOT. I talked to 4 different people at DOT today. There's no load rating at the highway, and there's no additional restrictions in the wintertime. I think it should be mitigated in the thaw season, and we should be cognizant of that, and there's ways to mitigate that. And I talked to our local stakeholders with DOT. I talked to Gary Allen today. I talked to Chris Goins, who's our South Coast Director at DOT. And I talked to the project manager of Zemoga Highway and talked about all these concerns. Now they'll have to get certain permitting for this, and obviously AML and Samson are both well versed in that process and understanding what's an acceptable load for their equipment type. So just kind of want to debunk that one. Need for cost sharing strategies and exploration of funding to offset impacts. Again, this kind of speaks to our MOU framework. We want to use our public leverage, our public-private partnership to reduce the cost of investment. But I think we can all agree a $5 to $7 million investment that gets us a wash from a community impact perspective is a lot better pursuit than a $25 million investment that doesn't even get us a ramp or address the downtown corridor congestion. So again, ongoing dialogue with AML, DOT, and stakeholders to ensure solutions align with them. Kind of already talked about that. The ultimate goal, relocation that strengthens Wrangell's economy without creating undue burden on local businesses. So, I mean, that's the key, right? That's what we all want out of it. We've been very forthcoming with AML, but that's our goal out of this. I think the MOU speaks to it. And I just really appreciate the process and their leadership and coming to the table and actually getting as far as we have through some of these alternatives. And I think this is going to be a good solution for us. So as we look through next steps, we'll go through conceptual and design. This is something we will mirror in the ACL MOU. The ACL is committed to covering a cost associated with it, a cost share with that development of a conceptual. We feel that it's appropriate that AML not do that because they have enough expertise to reduce the cost of conceptual. They've done these facilities, like I said, all over Alaska, and we can get to something that's a fairly close fit. And then we'll engage in some economic analysis. Like I said, it's important to us that we come up with an ROI figure. That's what we pledged in a previous town hall. So we'll make sure we are very forthcoming and all the implications on ROI and what this really yields for the community. We'll continue to have these types of events. Just quick show of hands. Do you guys prefer this format or do you like being in the Nolan Center? Is it Nolan Center?
Stop it. No, here's fine.
Okay. I don't know. It's good to know because I hear a lot that people prefer the Nolan Center and that City Hall is dark and dingy. And you never know. We like to try to appease where we can. Fun fact for you, I was over in Petersburg for our SEPA board meeting and Jeremy Bynum was saying, wow, Wrangell's City Hall doesn't hold a candle to Petersburg. And I said, well, yeah, we like to focus our funding on community priorities. So I think we got them again. And
it looks better.
It looks a lot better. Thank you.
It looks great.
It's just a little hot in here. Yeah. And then from outside of the ROI and the stakeholder engagement, we'll get into a definitive agreement, hopefully by the end of the year. And we'll look at construction in 26 and hopefully completion by 27. That should mirror the timeline of the ACL construction. It should mirror the timeline of a potential GreenSpark deployment for their data center facility. And so, again, kind of speaks to what I said at the town hall. Never have we had a time where all these puzzle pieces are up in the air. And I think it's really important to think intentionally about how they best fit together for the community's needs. And I think we're lucky to have it all happening at the same time. I think it's a real opportunity. And I think, it speaks to being at an inflection point for our community. And I think I'm very optimistic about it. If Wrangell was a stock, I'd buy it. So looking ahead, reliable freight service of Wrangell's people and business is top of mind. A vibrant downtown waterfront opened up for community use and tourism. We want strong partnerships with AML, DOT, and local stakeholders, and Samson's on the phone. Commitment to address businesses' concerns about costs, roads, and routes, and building a sustainable future of the next generation here in Wrangell. So that is in large part this discussion tonight. I want to get out in front of it. I know Corey's on the phone with us. We have been engaged in conversations with AML and Samson for at least since I've been here nonstop. Last 18 months, we've had a lot of conversations. We've all come together as three parties. And so there's nothing that Samson hasn't been privy to. I realize that a question that's lingering in the first one out of the newspaper was, why isn't Samson in here? Well, there's nothing that precludes Samson from doing this very same thing. They've been part of this whole operation. We encourage it. I think it's great to have the partnership that we do with both entities. And so that's mentioned in my agenda statement. And I just want to get out in front of that. And I know that Dan feels the same way. So with that, I would invite Dan. I don't know if you have anything to add. I'm kind of rambling. And I'll kind of kick it over to Assembly and community comments.
I think you've covered everything really well. You know, I've been engaged in this question over the last 25 years with varying folks in the community. It's always been a question of what can we do to help and those kind of things. I think it's really great to have a very clear, defined roadmap on a project so we can run through those things and come up with a potential solution there. So happy to be part of it. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Good to hear. Madam Mayor, do you want to do assembly comment first? You want to do community comment?
I think, let's take the community comment first.
That sounds good.
Is that all right with the assembly? Please remember, this is our first stab at the private-public partnership. We have three MOUs on the special meeting tonight that follows this workshop. So we have plenty of time to hear all of your questions and your concerns and your recommendations. We'd like to hear from you. As far as I can tell, as I piece it together, and Corey and Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, basically the public will not see very much difference in freight coming to and leaving Wrangell, other than the transport 6 miles into town. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Probably the same schedule, same assistance, and with Samson bringing the freight in.
Yeah, I kind of defer to Corey on that question, because it's their tug and barge coming in here.
Right.
Corey, you on there?
Corey, do you have anything to add?
I might have a couple things. Dan, do you want to finish what you were saying?
Oh, I just going to say, that's my understanding, is that from a line haul standpoint, what we call line haul, the stevedoring portion of it would mirror what's happening now. The impact would just be the location out at the and the distance between where it is now and where it's planned to be.
Correct.
Yep.
I believe that's what you and I've talked about, but what I'm listening to what Mason has said and what I've seen in writing and what's in this MOU and his little Samson versus AML impact, I honestly, the spirit of this is completely different than that I thought it was going to be. And as the only barge line that actually has been in Wrangell since 2013 and coming in year round, Dan, I know you come in the summer, but we're there all the time, and my 3 year round employees are there. And I'm getting calls from customers and vendors and my employees, and they're freaking out. They don't like the verbiage that's been put in here. They don't like the fact that Samson's name's not put in here. And they really don't like page 11 where it says, why AML and not Samson Tug and Barge? It sounds very assertive, aggressive, and not necessarily inclusive, especially for a company that has, you know, made an investment in the community. So I do have some problems with this. We were not at the MOU meeting. Dan has been amazing. I want to be very clear about that. Dan Kelly has called me, kept me apprised of what's going on. I really want to be super clear about that. But I'm stunned, frankly.
Okay. Is it several portions of the MOU, Corey, or the whole structure of the MOU?
Well, if you own Samson Tug and Barge, and the reason that we're having this MOU says why AML and not Samson Tug and Barge, wouldn't you feel a little offended?
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
Well, and Madam Mayor, I might comment a little bit. You know, appreciate your sentiments and making your opinion, Corey, but you were invited to all the meetings we've had with AML, even on my vacation.
Even the one in Seattle that you guys had?
My impression is that AML informed each party of that meeting, and that's what I was told. So, you know, that was completely my impression. And I've been told that by Alaska Marine Line. So my understanding is they called several times to inform you of an impromptu visit, and the team's call where we talked about the conceptual. Samson did not show up to that. They didn't let us know that they weren't going to come. And that was my takeaway. But this community deserves quick action and in finding a long-term solution. And I continue to invite you guys to the table, and I hope that's something that you look at.
Dan, I'm sorry. I'd like to just address Dan. Dan, is there any meeting that I was invited to that I said that I wouldn't come to?
No, I think I'm gonna, you know, leave that between you guys as far as the attendance and all those things. You know, again, I'm it's not something I'm.
I think that we've been very transparent, and I don't agree with that statement. I just want that for the record. I do not agree with that statement.
Okay. Well, I was just told that 4 times in advance of the meeting that I had in Seattle to talk about the conceptual. So I'll throw that one in the record.
Corey, we will relook at the MOU and make changes that you suggest or consider those changes. Would that be acceptable?
I would love that because I really enjoy working with Dan, and I think that we could come up with something really good. I would just like something that my employees don't have to see that says why AML and not Samson Tug and Barge. I think that's insulting. And I think that we have really good customers and we have really great team members there. And I think that we could write an MOU that's more inclusive. And I think we could do something where we're all working together. I'm on the Sitka Economic Development Association board. I helped build the GPIP dock, which is here in Sitka. I have years of expertise on public-private partnerships. I think that I also could bring something to the table if I was asked to be there.
Okay, fair enough. I will make double sure that you're the first one asked, and we will consider your input, Corey.
I have a question.
I'm sorry that this happened. What questions do you have before we take questions from the audience? Do you have any other concerns other than the MOU?
No, just that everything Dan and his team has done is great. I think this is wonderful. I just feel like it should be more inclusive. And I'm really kind of also very curious about Wrangell's code and how RFP processes work, but that's just because of my years and years of experience with SICK Economic Development Association and our doc here. But I mean, I just want to make sure we're doing everything right for the city of Wrangell. And just a quick little tidbit, my family immigrated to the United States and came to Wrangell in 1917. So I am very committed to the community.
Yes, yes, you are. You have a good name in the area also. Did you have something to say?
This is
Dave Powell.
Yeah, this is David, Vice Mayor. I just have a question. This is basically for everybody involved, us too, I guess, is this MOU is with AML. What's the problem with writing an MOU with you guys, exclusively a different MOU with you?
I'm very much open to it or even a joint thing. I mean, I thought this whole time has been joint. I've really enjoyed the discussions that we've had together. When we met in Ketchikan, I thought it was great.
Well, we'll make that happen. This is our first stab at a public-private partnership. So we'll hit some bumps and get some bruises, but we'll make it right. Because Wrangell needs reliable, economically viable freight services. And I think with Wrangell's economic development plans, I think it'll pay off for both Samson and AML. I think you will be glad that you're partnering with us. All right, any other
words? Thank you.
Thank you. Let's take questions or comments or concerns from the audience, and we'll try to get those answered. We will answer them during the regular meeting, our special meeting. Anyone want to come up to the podium? Give us your name and your comment or your questions. This is our first step in this whole process. Please.
Mr. Yeager.
John Yeager, 1003 Case Avenue. Well, I think the first thing you need to do is get AML and Samson talking. So I don't think we can get much further than this until we get an MOU that's written to where everyone's accepting it. And I don't think the body is at that point right now. And I think that you're going to have a lot of questions regarding a lot of assumptions until the relationship between Samson and AML is strictly outlined and the MOU is agreeable between the two, and then we can have an agreement with them. So that's all I have to say. Don't put the cart before the horse.
Cart before the horse.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?
Okay. I'll get out.
Okay.
Oops. So we have about 4.8 miles of Mogi Highway. Bunch of questions. One, for Samson and for AML. Was it, if you were given, if you were given a choice of three sites, what site would you have gone for? Corey?
Well, it's handy for us and our customers to be downtown. There's no doubt about it. But if the community wants us to move to 6 Mile, we're ready to go. That's not a problem. And here in Sitka, where we're headquartered, we're 6-7 miles out the road. We make it work. It's not a problem. I'm open to anything, whatever you guys want to do. It's just that right now you have the cheapest alternative available to you. If you want to spend more money and do something more expensive, then great, we will be there. We were just trying to save the community money.
And the same thing, what works best for the city of Wrangell is what we want as well too. You know, there's and in all the discussions that we've had over the period of time, Wrangell has enjoyed really good transit times and freight rates in the scenario that they've got. That's not a scenario that's available now. And the alternative that we're currently doing, I think spelled out really well, the challenges that we're having there, the additional costs, the safety concerns and all those types of things there. So that's not an ideal situation. So I appreciate the process that I've been involved in this and looking at all the different alternatives. I think the exploration of this and the MOU is to look at that option thoroughly to see if that makes sense. And so, yeah.
Would you look? Now, right now, your system is moving the local freight, not container load freight, but local freight to your distribution center that Arrowhead has. And then Arrowhead distributes from there through businesses in town. And those are the LTL stuff.
Yeah, Arrowhead is the local agents for
and Anna. So you would be doing the same thing for locals. You would be bringing that freight LTL into town and distributing from your in-town set.
Yeah, I would think that would be what would make sense. Yeah, if you're talking about the 6 Mile alternative, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would assume, and Charity's here, she can, but I would assume that process would be the same as is now.
How about you, Corey?
Well, ultimately, it would depend on whether or not we're allowed to keep our lease with the city. We've got a Tidelands lease downtown, and we also have our building that's on also a lease with the city. So, you know, I mean, we. What would happen with those facilities? I don't know. Would we move out to 6 Mile? I haven't had not really the time to contemplate what we do, but I mean, we work with the city, whatever the city wants to do. We're the thing that's most important to us at Samson. I mean, we've been doing this for a very, very long time. We just want to do whatever the community wants. We don't care. We will work around you guys.
Well, that's one of my questions is, How does it affect people who are getting their freight, smaller LTLs that are getting their freight in? Because if we're talking about waterfront development, part of that waterfront development really has to do with where Samson is and where they're set up and how they're distributing freight. So not just AML, but Samson as well. I have another question. And I'm concerned that there are numbers that are being thrown out there right now, 6 million, 25 million. I'm a numbers person. I want to see a breakdown of where that 25 million is. I want to see a breakdown of what the estimated cost and what it includes, what it entails. A little bit better breakdown, because I'm not sure that I'm comparing apples to apples here. And I want to understand that. I'm not sure if all the pieces that are in the sky are all puzzle pieces and there's not slag or volcanic ash in the middle of it. And until I'm, as a citizen, as a taxpayer, until I'm comfortable with understanding that, I'm not making a definitive decision one way or the other. Now, I know that I've been involved from the time of the first waterfront development plan, from the 2009, in every one of these things. And a lot has changed in 2009, 19, 16. 20, 16 years. A lot has changed. And we talked about this last time. And so I want to make sure that we actually are thinking about things completely before we make make these plans. If we can get a public private partnership grant or an EDA grant for the mill, why can't we get the same thing for the marine services, that area? Now, I do understand that for the businesses that are in the marine services area, that there is conflict in trying to move containers from there. And that's a reasonable, viable question. And so that's something that we need to think of. But we also need to think about if we don't have barge operations there like we do right now, we didn't before. Was that area, how was that area used? And what do we need to do there anyhow for the expansion of the marine services area? So that's a cost that also has to figure in there. It's not linear. There's always the unintended consequences and where each path leads us. And those are my questions.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions?